Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you're in this place and that we get to read your word. Lord, people have died because of this word, in the building of it, in the proclaiming of it, in the gathering it together. People have died. They've lost their lives for this word. And I pray, Lord, that we would not come to it with haughtiness or pride, but in utter humility, that we get to hear the very words of God today. And I pray that our hearts would be open to what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that my words would not be a reflection of what I think, but what you think. And my opinion would not matter in it, but it'd be all what you want to say today. And I just lift up everyone in this room, Lord, that as I begin to speak, Lord, that they would pray for me, that I would rightly divide your word, that I would not try to twist it to say what I want, but it would say what you have said through it. I thank you, Lord, for this time, and I'm looking forward to reading your word. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so this year for VBS, we had actually planned to do Noah's Ark, and we were so excited. I think I said that already last week, that we had planned in February. Like, I mean, I was so stoked about Noah's Ark. We had it all planned out. And some things happened this year, if y'all hadn't noticed, that turned that plan completely upside down. And so part of me was like, you know what? Let's just not even do a VBS. Let's just, we'll just cancel it. But I've been studying. It was a six-week study that I've been going through with some people. And it was supposed to last 6 weeks, and it took me 12 weeks to get through it. And it was about the kings of Israel. And so one day I was outside, and me and Patrick, I think we were just talking about VBS, and I kind of just had this thought in my mind. It was like, King of Kings. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? That's all I saw, King of Kings. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. And so I began just kind of churning through this. Okay, what if we did a VBS, and it looked like this, and it was this and that. And so I was like, but King of Kings kind of sounds like I'm going to just talk about Jesus, but I'm actually kind of talking about the kings of Israel. And so just giving y'all an invitation into my brain. You don't have to stay there long. Just you can see the process, right? You don't want to stay there long. Of what all I had to go through to get this VBS together. But what ended up coming out of it is this story of Josiah. I don't know if you have much understanding or whatnot when it comes to the kings of Israel or even the history of the Old Testament, and I'm not going to try to give you a whole Old Testament survey, but there were kings. There were kings of Israel. I like to teach the kids that after David and after Solomon, there was a split, and they were divided into Israel and Judah. And Josiah was, and all the kings of Israel were evil. But the kings of Judah, there were some that were good and some that were not. And King Josiah was the best. Now, we always hear that King David was like, you know, the man after God's own heart. He was the giant slayer. Like, he could do anything. He could write any kind of song and psalms. But we're going to look at the life of Josiah. And my prayer is that at the end of this, looking at his life, we would be encouraged to live like him. We often hear the story about David and live like David. And that's great. We should do that. But the story of Josiah, I'm trying not to get emotional, is a story that it's actually an example of how we should all live, regardless of the situation around us, because the life that he lived during the time period that he lived is very much like the time period we're in. The nation was, it was rough. It was very rough. And there's actually doom that kind of, if you'll read in the commentaries, it says it kind of like overshadowed his reign, but like I said, I don't want to get too much into that. But isn't that so much like we are right now? There's a little bit of, it seems like doom a little bit, doom and gloom. And so let's read the hope of God's word before we get too deep into that thought. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles 34. So if you have your scripture with you, a copy of it, you can go ahead and turn there for me. And you know, you can stand. Pastor Tim's been doing that, standing while you read the word. So let's, plus I don't want y'all to fall asleep too quickly. So get a look, get the blood flowing. Stand up, sit down, sit down. Okay, 34, we're going to read 1 through 8. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim and the carved and the metal images. And they chopped down the altars of the Baals in his presence. And he cut down the incense altars that stood above them. And he broke in pieces the Asherim and the carved and the metal images. And he made dust of them. And he scattered it over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars. And he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all around, he broke down the altars, and he beat the Asherim and the images into powder, and he cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Thank you all for standing. You can be seated. So you may have caught some words in there called the Asherim and the carved and metal images and the Baals. You may have some familiarity with them. You may not. That's cool. Before Israel came into the promised land, you know, went through the Exodus and whatnot, before they came into it, God had given them some rules. And he said, this land, this promised land I'm bringing you to, there are the people there, they serve other gods. They serve other gods, they bow down to them, and it's creations, these Baals, it was stuff that they carved out of metal, they carved out of wood. It was images that they would set up and say, this is my God, and they would worship them. They would go so far as to sacrifice their children on the altar. Not just like, oh, here, dedicating the child. No, the children would be slain on the altar. So these Asherim and these Baals, God told them when they came into Israel that they had to tear these down. And they had to burn them. You saw the language. I know that probably got a little lost in the details, but you had to crush it. You had to grind it out. They could not be just like, oh, we're going to tuck it away for later. He said, no, you've got to crush it and you've got to grind it down. You've got to chop it down. It's got to be utterly destroyed. Well, when the nation came in, they did that somewhat. You can read more about it in Deuteronomy about how he told them and he led them how they were supposed to handle it. But they didn't do it all the way. And so you begin to see, even with David's reign, that throughout all the kings, that they just let a little more slide and a little more slide until Josiah's grandfather, who was Manasseh, he was the most evil king that the nation had ever seen. He was absolutely evil. He said that he spilled more blood, innocent blood, which I'm assuming is more like children, than anyone else, which makes me want to cry, but I'm not going to think about that, than anyone else. But you see Josiah. I don't know if y'all caught it. He was 8 years old when he became king. His lineage, father and grandfather, absolutely evil. He became king at 8 years old, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know who was necessarily responsible for his entire upbringing up until that time, but he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I think that's something I want us to hinge on, that it doesn't matter about what our parents, our grandparents, because we can get stuck on that, what they did. That we can still turn the page, we can still turn a new leaf, we can do things differently. I love the story of Josiah in that we're not held back by what the past holds, but God determines our future, and God determines our present if we let him. So he, after, I love it, it says at the 8th year of his reign, so he was like roughly 16 years old, says he began to seek the Lord. That word also is he began to worship the Lord. And for 4 years, because he didn't have authority yet, he just spent that time seeking the Lord. And I began thinking about like this whole message and just the whole idea about it. And it's like, I don't want to jump too much ahead, but like that's where it starts. If we want anything to change in our world, in our nation, in our family, it starts with we just got to seek the Lord. We got to get that undivided attention. We got to get away. We got to put the things away. Like for me, I got to put my phone away. I got to get quiet. And I just got to spend some time with him because I won't ever know him if I don't spend time with him. That's how I do the kids. They're like, oh, how do we get to know God? We got to spend time with him. That's a whole other, you know, can of worms. But we can't get to know him if we don't read his word. We can't get to know him if we don't get quiet. If we have too much going on, then we have too much going on and we will never hear him. We have to get quiet. So I love that. For 4 years, he just sought the God of David. He sought him. He worshiped him. He just spent that time with him. And 4 years is a long time. If any of you have had to wait for anything, 4 years feels like an eternity. He had to wait, and he had to just worship. And so then 4 years later, it says when he came into authority, he began to purge. I love that word. Kind of hate it, though, because the image that comes to mind is a little weird. I don't know if the image is coming to y'all's mind, but when you think of purge, it's kind of like, you know, you get what I'm saying, right? That's what he began to do. So after 4 years of just sitting in the presence of God and just worshiping and seeking him out, he began as a leader at 20 years old, began going through and purging Israel of all these idols and Baals and Asherim that they had gathered up for years and years. I mean, centuries. It's been like 400 years, I think, since David. So for 400 years, he just began systematically going through and tearing it down. And on this point, I want y'all to think about that in your life. And I pray that the Lord is stirring you even right now. What is the idol in your life? What is the Baal? Maybe it was handed down from centuries and you were added to it, you know? You added some to it. What's the Baal in your life? What's that thing? And the way I explained it to the kids, what's the thing that when you woke up in the morning you thought about first before God? What's that thing? You know what it is. What is that thing? I know what mine is. What did I think about? Was it my list of to-dos? Was it I've got to do this and that to, is it my self-worth? What is that thing that you think about in the morning before you think about God and that you spend more attention to? So he began tearing these things down, right? And then when he was done, he returned to Jerusalem. So I'm going to fast forward. I'm not going to read the scripture. I'm going to give it a synopsis. 4 years later, I believe that's right. No, 6 years later. So when he was 26, after he had cleansed the land, so it took probably roughly 6 years to do that, cleansing the land of all of these idols and whatnot, he sent these groups of people to begin repairing the temple. And this kind of goes into, we're the temple of God under the new covenant. We are. God's Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And so after we begin seeking the Lord, we realize that our temple needs repair. And so he, the temple where God's presence dwelt, he sent people to repair this temple. And as they're repairing it, it says they find the book of the law. And this was a portion of Deuteronomy. We don't know exactly what portion. And they find this portion of the book of the law because it had obviously been thrown to the wayside. The kings were actually supposed to have the book of the law scripture read to them daily so that they would not forget God and so that they would follow him. But obviously they didn't have it read daily and they forgot God and they did what they wanted, and that's why they were in disrepair. And so when they found this book of the law, they brought it to the king, and the secretary, he read it to the king. And Josiah's response is the response that I know God wants us to have today as we read his word. Josiah's response is that he began weeping and he tore his clothes, which was just a sign of utter grief as he heard the very words of God. And he told the man, he said, go to this prophetess, her name's Huldah, go to the prophetess, inquire of the Lord and see what he wants us to do about this. And so they went to her, and the message she had for them was that it was going to happen. Disaster was coming. Because God had promised, if you do not follow my ways, disaster is going to follow. And so they didn't follow God's ways, and disaster's coming because God keeps his promise. But she said, go tell your king that because his heart was humble and because he was penitent, I think is the word, that the disaster won't be upon him. He'll die before he sees it. The disaster won't come upon him. So they bring the message to King Josiah. And what I love is his response to the message of God, that I don't know about you, but if God told me that in the midst of this crooked generation that we're in right now, that if I would get just, I won't have to face it, I'm not going to have to go through anything, my response would be like, well, I'm good to go. I am written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am going to heaven. I'm good. Like, I'm just going to go on a cruise or something. Like, I'm going to go enjoy life. I'm going to go see the world. No. Josiah's response was that he gathered everyone around him. And they went to the temple. They read the covenant that God had originally made with them. And then he said, I am going to live that with all of my heart and all of my soul. And then it says he gathered everyone and made them do the same, that we are going to live by it. And that faithfulness is a faithfulness that all of us need to see in this generation. A faithfulness that says, it doesn't matter that I'm good, I may just escape the disaster coming. No, I'm going to be an example for the generations to come that it doesn't matter what is coming, I'm going to live for God, and it doesn't matter if I'm alone. And I'm floored by that. Like, and I pray this over Titus and kids that may come from me and Patrick, that would be the desire of their heart. It does not matter. It's just like the three men thrown into the fire. That even if God doesn't save us, I'm not bowing to your gods. I won't do it. And that's the heart, man, y'all, this has broken me as I've begun reading and studying it, that it's like, I want that faithfulness. that it does not matter what is coming, that I'm going to stand for you. Even though Josiah had the promise that he wasn't even going to have to face the disaster. He wasn't going to have to face the exile they went through and being slaves to another country. He wasn't going to have to face it. He could have just been like, well, I've been good till now, so I'm good. I'm just going to take it. No. He said, I'm going to be faithful still. And he moved this whole nation into a time of repentance, a time of restructuring and renewing the covenant that they were going to live by what God had said to live by. So I ask you this in the process of all of this. With the first, have you been seeking the Lord? Have you been spending that time? Have you been just setting that time aside? You got issues, you got stuff going on. Have you just been spending that time, like getting quiet and just letting the Lord say what he wants to say in scripture to you? And have you been responding like Josiah? And I'm saying this to myself. I think that's why it's breaking my heart so much. Am I responding like Josiah, or do I have my excuses? I say, well, I mean, yeah, I'll do that, God, but I got this over here going. I got this. I mean, I got VBS. I got a plan. Like, I'm doing it for you, God. So I can. Or am I getting quiet and saying, you know, Lord, you speak and I will listen. Then when God's word has been spoken to me and I have spent time reading it and I have begun to purge those idols, which I asked you that question, what's your idol? What are one of your idols? I know what mine is. I love spending time on my phone. I love reading. I love knowledge. It's almost frustrating for me when it comes to crafting a sermon and crafting, because I want to know everything about what I'm reading. I want to know everything so I can give you all the information. That's an idol, that I want to know everything. I'm depending more on my knowledge than the power of God's Spirit to what he has revealed to me. I will share it and that be it. Instead, I want to build my sermon up on, let me tell you what all I know so you can applaud my mind. That's one of my idols. So in the process of, that's what I want. I want today to be a meeting with God that we begin to say, okay, this is where I haven't been seeking you. And these are why. These are the idols. These are the things that stand in my way of seeking you. And then can we renew that covenant today? That covenant that says, Jesus died for me. Jesus' blood covers me, my mind, my heart, my soul. Everything about me he can make new. And because of that, I can now live in the power of his Holy Spirit and walk boldly against anything that I face in my day-to-day life. Can we renew that covenant, that passion, that desire to follow what his word says to follow, to do the things? Because I think everyone in this room, if you have followed the Lord, you know the Lord, that he has spoken a word to you saying, I want you to get rid of this. And if I'm willing to bet, there's a lot of us in here, myself included, that have said, yes, but, and we've held on to it. Whew. I don't like getting emotional, but I know I did it for years, and then once the Lord brought me home and changed me, I was like, man, I'm never going back. I'm never doing that. And it was like, yeah, I didn't go back to those things, but I went back to something. And it's like the Lord has been teaching me through this. Amy, are you gonna, I've told you, I've put my finger on it. Are you gonna get rid of it so you can remain faithful to me? Are you going to get rid of it so you can live with me? And the whole idea behind King of Kings is, do we trust the King of Kings? Do we? Because the whole history of Israel's king says, no, they didn't. Even though he rescued them from Egypt, no, they didn't. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that they forgot God because they stopped spending time with God. We often do that. Something I didn't even really want to share, but like I'm not on social media. That's a part of when I came home, the Lord told me that you don't get to have social media anymore, Amy. I said, okay, because I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. And he said, we're just not going to do that. He actually showed me that through my father and was like, you just don't. It was my dad who told it to me, but I could hear God saying it. That's just not for you. So I stopped being on social media. And because of that, I forget people. I forget them. Like when I see their face, I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot you existed. How are you? Which is such a terrible thing to say. I don't recommend saying that. And like forgetting people's birthdays. I rarely know anybody's birthday. Thanks, social media. But we forget God. If he's not before us, if we're not seeing him, we're not spending time with him, we're not reading his word, we forget him. We will do it. I've told myself over and over again, you won't forget. You won't forget. Yes, I have. I have forgotten the rescue he did for me 3 years ago. I have forgotten it because I have not spent time praising him for it and praising him for the daily ways that he resurrects me and brings me out of slavery. I forget it because I don't put it in front of my face. I don't worship him. I don't spend that time with him. Poor little tidy man. He don't want to listen anymore. I hear you, buddy. I hear you. This won't be the first time. So anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate that one line. Appreciate you. I can't get off on a tangent. Anyway, so after this, after they renew covenant, and they say, we are going to live by this, then Josiah goes on a rampage. Apparently, he hadn't completely purged the land. He had just kind of did like phase one of purge. No, this time, it says that he went back and he purged the land of something that one of the first kings after the splits had put up there. He went back and he purged the land of that one. And that was one of, if you says that, that's one of those like famous ones. It was Jeroboam. That was one of like the famous Baals and places that they worship false idols. He went back and he got that one. He went back and got all of them everywhere. Just went, I mean, he just went like full on like Jedi. Like he just, boom, like went through and just destroyed everything. And then after this, which I'm winding down, worship team, y'all can come on up. After this, they kept the Passover to the Lord. I'm not going to go through the whole history of the Passover. It's basically celebrating Egypt and the way the Lord rescued them out of Egypt. They celebrate Passover because of the way he covered them, protected them, and saved them from the slavery that was Egypt. So Josiah kept the Passover because apparently they had not been doing that. God gave them this festival to celebrate so that they would remember him and they would worship him. They would remember and they would worship. And so we see in this line of spending time with the Lord, just seeking him. Before we do anything rash, just seeking him. And then we begin purging ourselves of the idols that we have served and the false gods that we have worshiped. We begin renewing that covenant of what God has done in us. And because of that, he takes things off of us we don't have to live in anymore. And then we can walk boldly in that through that process. The way we don't go back to it is by remembering and by worshiping. We cannot let those two things, coupled with the others, go by the wayside. I feel like today, guys, this is a message that I feel like the Lord is preaching directly to me. I think that's why I was like, oh, man, I know I got to say it, but I don't want to say it because it means I got to live it. But that's where it starts. It starts, you got to spend time with him to know him. You got to spend time with him to know him. And then through that, you can begin letting go of the things that you thought you could never let go of. Because like social media, I know it's silly, it's just social media. But that was something that was really hard for me to let go of. It's very hard. It breaks my heart even today how hard it was for me to let go of it. That I did not want to, because that was how I kept in contact with people, and I love people. But the Lord has shown me new ways to keep in contact with people. One of them is not, you know, telling people I forgot that they existed, but just saying, hey, when I see somebody, I'm like, okay, tell me everything about what's been going on in your life, because I have no clue what's going on in your life. So he showed me a new way to do it, even though it was hard. Even to this day, it's hard, because there's things that I miss out on because of it. But that's, and I know it's small, but that's what it takes to be close to the heart of God. You've got to let go. And I'm not telling you, everybody right now, go delete Facebook. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that whatever it is that God has put his finger on in your life, go delete that. And be like Josiah. Don't just leave it in the back of your mind and, you know, I'll just step away for a season. No, in order to fully get rid of it, you have to crush it like they did. It has to be burned up by fire. You can't hold on to it. If he has put his hand on something in your life, you can't hold on to it. You have to let it go, or it will do like it did to the Israelites. It will destroy you. So I'm almost like pleading with you and pleading with myself today. Just let it go. Let it go. I think that the only thing I've probably, and this isn't, the social media thing was hard, but I knew that it would ruin my life if I held on to it, because it almost did ruin my life once. And so I had to let it go. And two, I just ask of you to remember him. Remember the God of your childhood. Remember the God of your youth. Remember the God who saved you. And recite to yourself his faithfulness. Because sometimes we face mountains that we have never seen before, but we have to tell ourselves, we have to proclaim it over ourselves that he got me through that. He's going to get me through this and whatever else is on the other side of it. He's not a God that leaves us behind. People do that. People leave you behind. I had plenty of people who did it to me. They left me behind. They could not stand with me any longer. But our God does not do that. He stands with us. But we forget it when we don't spend time with him. We forget it when we don't spend time in His Word and we don't recite and worship and declare and have days and even months of celebration to His name. That's the only way that we remember. We have to keep it in front of us. In Deuteronomy, I was going to read this passage, and I guess this is a good message for fathers, but even those who aren't fathers, who have a heavenly Father. That in it, it's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and in it, it says to talk about it as you go and as you come. Put it on your doorpost. Put it in your house. Talk about it when you eat. And it's not saying, well, you need to memorize all this scripture and just recite it back to each other. No, God needs to be the focal point of your life. That He just comes up in conversation without you even meaning to. That He's so a part of you that everywhere you go and everything you do, He's there, breathing new life into you. So my prayer today for you is, we're about to pray and they're about to sing, is that you would begin just with the simple act of spending time with the Lord, more than you already do now. Spending time in His Word. And in the process, I know God is going to show you and me the idols in our life. And that's the part right there. Just let it go. And I pray throughout this week when it happens, that'll go through your mind. Just let it go. Crush it to powder. Let it go. I pray that that's what the Lord brings back to me. Let it go, Amy. Just let it go. Allow that covenant to be renewed in your mind. And then keep remembering and keep worshiping the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm so grateful that You're here. What a hopeless place we would be in if You weren't here. We would just depend on ourselves. But God, I confess to You that even though You're here, I still try to depend on myself. I still trust in myself more than I trust in You, and I trust in those I can see more than I trust in You. And I just ask You to forgive me for that. I ask You to forgive me for all the things that I've thought more important than You. And I ask, Lord, that You would begin showing me how I can let go of things so that You can give me Your good gifts. That if there's something that is in my hands that doesn't belong there, You would take it out of there so You can fill my life and my hands with good gifts. We just ask for a renewal of Your covenant, God. That we'd be reminded of what all You did at Calvary for us and at the empty tomb, so that we can boldly let go of these things that hinder us, so that we can proclaim to a world through a life of worship that You are a good God, You are a faithful God, and You walk with us every step of the way. Lord, I pray that You just take this and You break it and You do what You want with it. I pray You're glorified more than anything. Stir our hearts, Lord, to be closer to You. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. You can come pray at the altar. You can sit in your seat. You can stand up. Whatever act of worship you need to do right now, I invite you to do that while they sing.